Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. After 5 hours yesterday, we're back to the regular one-hour show today. Guys, what are we going to even talk about for an hour? Oh, I know everything. I am joined in studio by our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe, and from Houston, our NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins. Our friend Ramona Shelburne will join us later in the show as well. But let's start with the Miami Heat, who made some noise yesterday for sure. Free agency officially kicking off. They added a couple of former NBA champs to their roster in Kyle Lowry and the recently minted PJ Tucker. They also re-signed sharpshooter Duncan Robinson and are close to an agreement with Jimmy Butler on a 4-year max extension. So let's take a look at their projected starting lineup. Perk, after one day of free agency and looking at the rest of the situation in the East, where do you think the Heat now rank within the conference?
Oh, they up there with the best of them, Rachel. And look, Pat Riley did an excellent job of ordering ski masks because them goons from Dade County are back. And they're waiting in the dark alley, and they're waiting to stick up the Philadelphia 76ers, the Brooklyn Nets, the
Milwaukee Bucks, right?
All those teams that are at the top. Yeah, all those teams that are at the top, them goons from Dade County is back. And look, we talked about the signing of Kyle Lowry. We talked about them extending Duncan Robinson and giving him a contract that he deserved. We talked about Jimmy Butler and getting his contract extension. And then after the show went off, what did they do? They went stole an NBA champion, a Rough Rider, and P.J. Tucker. Just when Zach Lowe was talking about who was going to be the power forward. Well, there you go, Zach Lowe. I'm looking at this Miami Heat team right now. That starting five you just put up could arguably be the best defensive team in the NBA when you think about who they got as the personnel and who they got leading the charge in Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches in the game today.
Yeah, put that starting five back up. That is a nasty lineup. That lineup is going to be no fun to go against. And P.J. Tucker is their answer to Jay Crowder. There he is. They never found a replacement for Jay Crowder. Now, P.J. Tucker is a much less threatening offensive player than Jay Crowder. He only shoots from the corners, and he shot poorly from the corners last season. But Kyle Lowry is an absolutely perfect fit on this team on both ends of the floor. They've got to fill out their depth a little bit, but I'm higher on this team on paper than most people seem to be. But that said, you asked me, where do they rank in the East? Perk just gave you a vague answer, up there with the best
right.
of them. I'll give you a specific answer. They rank third in the East to me. You can't put them above Milwaukee, who just won the freaking championship,
right.
And you can't put them above Brooklyn, who looked like they were going to win the championship and are quietly having a really good offseason. And so that's where they rank to me. But third with a puncher's chance, not distant third.
Well, first of all, if we learned anything from this season and really the previous season too, you don't know who's going to be there. Having a team that has a shot, that's the group you want to be in. And then once you're in that group, chaos happens in the NBA pretty much on the regular. And all sorts of things like injuries, which certainly is still going to be a concern for Brooklyn, given the injury history of some of the Nets' main players. You have to love where Miami has positioned themselves. Now, I will say two things. First of all, we should give Pat Riley credit. We should give Andy Ellsberg, who is the cap wizard and sort of the secret weapon of the Miami Heat. My gosh, he did it again, right? I mean, it's just incredible. To me, this guy does not get enough shine. It's just...
And they're not done. I mean, they still have moves to make, and you can bet they're going to squeeze in every possible scenario right underneath that little hard cap. They've got pieces to fill, but they've done a really nice job. I like this team a lot.
Yep, and then number two, of course, is still wait and see what's going to happen in Philadelphia, because that is a huge tectonic plate that is going to be shifting around in the East, and we don't know what that team is going to be until they figure out their Ben Simmons situation. We got some breaking news, though, of course. Just as we were coming on the air, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Steph Curry has agreed to a 4-year, $215 million extension with the Warriors.
Ooh.
This deal would make Steph the first player ever to have two $200 million-plus contracts in a career. Perk, I'm supposed to ask you your reaction, but I think I'm hearing it right now.
Look, Rachel, he deserved every penny of it, okay? And look, I'm happy for Steph Curry and what he did for this Warriors franchise. We're talking about the greatest warrior of all time, a top five point guard of all time, the greatest shooter of all time, and he's not finished yet. I'm not saying that he's going to deliver a championship, but he's going to deliver some must-see TV basketball-wise. He's going to give the fans what they want, just like he did last season. I'm happy for Steph Curry. He deserved every penny and more.
Total no-brainer.
From the Warriors side.
It all starts with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Everything. Every bit of success. All the championships, all the finals runs, all the highlights, all the sellout crowds, the new arena, everything. It all starts and ends with him. And this is what you do when you have a franchise player. You reward them. And by the way, he was in the MVP conversation last year. It's not like he's in decline or anything. And that was without Klay Thompson. That was with a team that was kind of a makeshift team trying to find its way. They obviously have made so far a choice to stay younger and draft younger players, and that's sort of been controversial. But look, this team's going to be really good next year, and this is what you do for an all-time icon. And not just that, an all-time leader and culture setter for that locker room. All the vibes, all everything stems from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, there's no question
Zach
that he deserves it.
Bad, Rich.
No, go ahead, Perk. I thought you were going to chime back in. Go ahead.
I just want to know. I just want to know if Zach could give us that little wiggle when he be hitting those three-pointers at LA Fitness. Hey, Zach, do you be hitting that?
I'm not even going to dignify this. I hope you just fell off your chair.
I just want to get a little credit. My shoulders are doing an excellent job here. Anyway, there's no question, of course, that Steph Curry will compose himself. There's no question Steph Curry deserves this. The only interesting wrinkle, I think, in this, and this is a good wrinkle mm-hmm. for the Warriors, is that LeBron kind of ushered in with those one-and-ones with Cleveland, and we saw Kevin Durant then do it in Golden State, and then we've seen other people pick it up throughout the league, this idea of players using shorter contracts to hold management accountable, right? Players who realized they were so good, they didn't need the, quote, security mm-hmm. of a four-year deal because they knew in a year or two they could get another big deal. So why not have shorter deals to hold management accountable? Producer Steve is in my ear saying stall, so we got to work on that. But the idea that that you hold management accountable. And I think that him signing this deal early, remember, Giannis Antetokounmpo did not sign that Supermax until, the first week of training camp, basically, right? He was already back in training camp, and that was on purpose. The purpose was, let's see what you do this summer. The fact that Steph Curry has signed this extension right at the beginning of when he could sign this extension, that to me is just as much of a message as the holding people accountable guys of saying, I am holding management accountable and I think they're doing good work. I think it is a specific vote of confidence in the front office, and we should note that as well. I think the reason that producer Steve has asked me to stall a little bit is that we have breaking news going on.
Where's the crank?
Adrian Wojnarowski reporting, Carmelo Anthony is on his way back back to being reunited with his friend LeBron James, going to the LA Lakers.
Ooh.
And we've been hearing about this for a while. These guys met when they were in high school. They played a huge game against each other when they were opponents. And there's a great piece that Howard Beck, our friend at Sports Illustrated, wrote, talking about them sitting in a stairwell in a hallway at the hotel the night before the game, and just becoming friends, basically. Two guys who were in similar situations in high school who could know what that pressure was like to have the eyes of the whole country on them when they were so young. They have been incredibly close ever since. We have been waiting for the time when Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James play basketball together in the NBA, and we have it now. Carmelo Anthony is going to the LA Lakers. What do you make of that, Perk?
Reunited and it feels so good. I tried to tell people yesterday, Rachel, when producer Steve was saying we had to leave out, I couldn't have a chance to redeem myself when Zach Lowe and Ramona and Matt Barnes was disagreeing with me about the big three of the Lakers and the big three of the Nets and who was going to have the better impact. And all of a sudden, guess what? Like them old people used to tell me, my grandmother, boy, don't you touch that stove, it's hot. hot. And then all of a sudden, I had to learn on my own not to go touch the stove because I went touched it anyway. All of a sudden, you got to go get the aloe vera plants because you got a burn mark on your hand because I told y'all so. Look, what Rob Pelinka did yesterday, all he did, Rachel, was set the temperature. He set the temperature. He set the temperature by going sign Trevor Ariza, Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, and all of those guys. And now all of a sudden, he had the cake ready to bake, and he went put it in the oven by sealing the deal and going get Carmelo Anthony. The mission is complete, along with Dwight Howard. Book it. The Lakers are on their track, back on track. You go ahead, Zach. Say what you got to say. Go ahead. Do what you do.
I think you lost Zach at aloe vera, but continue.
Look, I have no idea what just happened, except I'm kind of hungry now, but I don't know what all that was. Look, this is
the truth. The man was speaking the truth. Continue.
This is a great story, and if I recall correctly, Carmelo made the playoffs his rookie year, and LeBron did not. I believe LeBron went to one of his playoff
attended
games.
I mean, one
that's
of his
to,
games.
To go support him. So it's a beautiful story, and look, this is the kind of flyer the Lakers were going to have to take. They did not have any cap resources left to go. They're going to have to get guys that are chasing rings on the minimum. And Carmelo, to his credit, everyone said all he wants to do is ISO and shoot twos. In Portland, he bought into a role as a spot-up shooter, shot the three well. That's the role he's going to have to play for the Lakers. But with all of these guys, whether it's Ellington, Bazemore, Ariza, Carmelo, with the exception of Ariza, I think the big question is going to be when push comes to shove, when you're in the conference finals, when you're in the second round of the playoffs, whatever it is, can you stay on the floor defensively? Do the Lakers, who have made their bones, all the sexy stuff, whatever, they have made their bones on defense.
Yep.
Have they hurt their defense too much in this, all of this roster building? I think that's remains to be seen, but they are going to be a really interesting team.
Well, let me ask you a question. Woj also reporting Malik Monk to the Lakers. What do you think now as you look at the whole roster and where it sort of sits?
That's a great flyer for the Lakers. I haven't seen that. I haven't looked at my phone. Malik Monk had a nice bounce-back season last year. He can really shoot. He can play make as a secondary playmaker. That's when they lost Caruso, they needed more guys in their prime. Mm-hmm. And Malik Monk is still in his prime, and I think that's a great move by Rob Pelinka. It's a great flyer.
Kirk, what about you?
Rachel, you see, when I love the move getting Monk. I think he's a hell of an addition. But you see why Zach is still trying to find holes and talking about defensive prowess and the defensive identity. They still have Anthony Davis. They still have Dwight Howard. They still have LeBron James. Look, when you have a veteran group like this, this group is built for a seven-game series because you have a veteran group that's going to buckle down. They know what it takes. You have a lot of championships. Experience. Look, Zach, stop trying to find holes and find things that's wrong with the Lakers instead of just saying, listen, I know they have an old squad, but they have a lot of talent on this team. They have a lot of depth, and they have fixed these holes that you're trying to talk about.
Depth, I don't know, but talent, yes.
And look, you now have in one place, I just want to put this all out there, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, the list goes on and on. But talk about Showtime, which I think is going to be pretty incredible right across the street here. I'm personally happy we have another Orioles fan here in L.A. Our friend Kyle Goon from the Orange County Register is very excited, I know, about that as well. So, the Bay Area News Group. So, I think that overall this is a win all the way around. We are going to be talking a lot more about the Lakers. We're going to be talking about Team USA able to push past Spain in the Olympic quarterfinals thanks to the 29 points from Kevin Durant. Did he put all the concerns about the gold medal to rest last night? We will discuss. All right, so here's some more Eastern Conference news courtesy of Woj. Patty Mills headed to the Nets on a two-year deal, which includes a player option. Zach, how big a deal is this?
Love this for the Nets. Patty Mills is a really good player, fills a need, and they lost Jeff Green, but bringing back Blake, bringing back Bruce Brown, their Landry Shamet trade to get Javon Carter and a draft pick was really good. The Nets are sneakily having a nice offseason.
You know what? I actually love this pickup, but can I say this? Free Spencer Dinwiddie. Let him loose. The Washington Wizards want him in a sign and trade. Y'all got Patty Mills. No need to hold Spencer Dinwiddie hostage. Let him go ahead. The deal is trying to get done. Sign off on it, Brooklyn. Carry on.
We will be getting to Spencer Dinwiddie soon for sure. I will say, I think for a team that has such three big headliners and is strapped by that financially, this is a deeper team than you would expect for a team with a bunch of stars. stars. Very impressive from the Nets front office.
Mm-hmm.
Game on the line, who I have taken the last shot?
Can I say me? Me.
Am I not supposed to say me?
Dame. I've been around Dame. He's had two game winners on my teams already, so I know what he does.
Number seven. I mean, that's easy.
I'll pick Dame.
I mean, I would say me, because I would be like, let me get it.
I mean, we got plenty of guys that have hit multiple game winning shots throughout their career, so we got options.
Man, that's tough. KD or Dame Dollar, they both have proven to hit big shots in big moments.
I love when the question is, who should hit the last shot for Team USA? Everyone's like, me. And Draymond's like, those two guys, they would be good. Perfect, as always. Welcome back to The Jump. Let's talk Team USA. Mm-hmm. After falling behind early, Kevin Durant went on a third quarter scoring rampage to lead Team USA to a 95-81 quarterfinal win over Spain. Here is KD, who dropped 29 in the victory, talking after the game.
You're going to have games where it's going to be tight. And we understand that. And today it was good that we pulled away late, but we're not expecting to come out here and beat everybody by 30. If you go back to the history of, you know, the last few Olympics, you're going to see some tight games up in there, especially, you know, 2012, that gold medal.
You could feel the momentum shifting really late in the second quarter. Again, though, it was Durant's third quarter that was the difference. Perk, KD and Team USA's win, does this help ease some of the concerns about this team as they now only have two games left to the gold?
Well, I just want to take a moment to appreciate Rachel Nichols, because all throughout the finals, Richard Jefferson and myself were up there panicking and we had concerns, and you kept religiously repeating, saying the gospel, but we were being disobedient and too bullheaded to listen.
Well, I was specific,
that you said,
though.
I'm not worried, long as I understand that. You said, I'm not worried because they have Kevin Durant. And you were on point like Rondo, because Kevin Durant has taken over Team USA. They're not playing system basketball no more. It's get the ball to KD and watch him go to work. Watch him be great. Watch him be the best basketball player in the world. Watch him be the greatest scorer in the world. So I just want to take a moment to give Rachel Nichols her flowers for warning us and keeping us aware that Team USA had Kevin Durant and we should not be worried.
Well, that's very kind, Perk. As Kevin told us himself, a couple years ago, don't you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. There you go.
When do I get my flowers? I never get any flowers. Look, I said on the show last week.
I tried to give them to you yesterday. You told me not to be nice to you, Zach. I tried to be your friend yesterday.
Look, I said in the Seaport last week, yes, in New York, we got the best team, we got the best talent, yes, we should win, and that starts with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's the best player at the Olympics, period. End of story. He proved it last night. Bye-bye, Spain. Shout out Pau Gasol, yes, who is retiring from international play. He said, if I read correctly, one of the greatest international players of all time. Should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, yeah, we roll on. Team USA rolls on. We should win. Bottom line.
Yes, and next facing Australia. I do think it is super interesting to watch how this team has evolved over time, and a good lesson also for teams as they go forward. I know the Olympic program has had a couple different approaches. Do we need to have the same guys every year for four straight years before we head into an Olympics? Do we need to have a month-long training camp? Do we need to have a week-long training camp? This team has been a good example of how these are pros and they can adjust on the fly. All right, let's move on from Team USA. A quick reminder of the breaking news from Woj in the Bay Area. Steph Curry has agreed to a four-year, $215 million extension with the Warriors. The deal would make Steph the first player ever to have two $200 million contracts in a career. The last year of Steph's deal will be worth over $59 million, according to Bobby Marks. You remember when people were worried about the last year of Chris Paul's salary when he signed his contract? That seems so quaint. That was in, the low 40s? $59 million in the final year of his deal. I mentioned a little bit in the last segment that, to me, this was an example of a superstar making a point about how confident he was in the front office by doing this now and not playing the, let me wait and see what you do game. So what do you think, Zach, the Warriors should do with this confidence going forward?
I think they should feel great about it. I mean, this is Steph Curry's choice. He looked at everything they did in the draft. He looked at their team. He's been consistent every time he's asked. I want to play my entire career for the Warriors. I want to play. And we have this tendency to, oh, people just say stuff. They say, no, he wasn't just saying stuff. He wants to play his entire career for the Warriors. What they should do going forward, look, we got to see how Klay looks after 2 years, lost to injury. We all miss Klay. The Warriors miss Klay. Is this team good enough as it is to contend for the championship? Joe Lacob made some emphatic comments the other day saying if we're not good enough to win the championship, yeah, we just drafted two teenagers. Everyone wants us to get veterans. Hey, if we're not good enough to win with Steph, Klay, Draymond, Andrew Wiggins, that's on all of us. We should be good. Look how much money we're spending. That's TBD. But if Steph, Klay, and Draymond can be Steph, Klay, and Draymond, watch out.
Watch out for what? Watch out for what, Zach?
The Golden State Warriors.
You don't see them as title contenders. You still think they have another? You think they have to add another piece, Perk? That's what he's saying. He's like,
what's the other piece? What other piece? What other piece are you magically plucking out of the thin air to add to this team?
Well, I'm not trying to add no piece out of thin air. I was trying to see what you was talking about because at first it seemed like you was on track but just on the wrong train. Now come hop on the Perk Express. Here it is what I'm trying to tell you, Zach Lowe, is this. Look, Steph Curry is Steph Curry. He's going to go out there and put on the show. But far as them winning championships with the team that they have right now constructed on paper with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, we don't know how Klay Thompson is going to come back. This is a guy that is coming back off a torn ACL and an Achilles tear. He haven't played up and down competitive basketball in 2 years. Draymond Green has showed us that he has a decline in this game offensively.
Absolutely.
He's not the Draymond Green that we saw before Kevin Durant when he was putting up those 30-point nights in the playoffs. And by the way, Kevin Durant is not walking through the door anytime soon. It's not a knock on Steph Curry or the Warriors. I feel like they will be in the playoffs before it's winning the title, especially with the direction that the West is going in. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, it is going to be interesting. Klay himself has said, don't expect me to be 100% of myself at the beginning of next season. In fact, he might not make the very beginning of next season. He might come in maybe a few weeks or a month in, and it will take him time to adjust. We have watched this with every player that has had a major injury. He's had two of them. There are conditioning aspects. There is just sort of getting back into the rhythm of the game. I do feel that when it counts toward the end of the season, Klay Thompson will be there. But, you know, injuries are injuries. As we learned this year more than ever, you cannot predict how things will go. We can predict how the rest of the show will go. We're going to take a very quick break, but coming up, we are going to discuss the Lakers' strategy in free agency, the huge move they just made, adding Carmelo Anthony. Ramona Shelburne is going to join us. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Carmelo Anthony announced in his own social media way he's joining the Lakers. Ooh. Look at that. The Lakers also, as we noted, have added Malik Monk. So look, in addition to all the moves they've already made, Russ, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, we welcome in ESPN NBA insider Ramona Shelburne, LA native. What are your thoughts on what the Lakers strategy now that we are seeing it pan out?
Well, you know what's amazing, Rach, is I was in the parking lot. Like, this is back when we used to do stakeouts. Remember when free agency was, you staked out the meetings and everybody actually used to, they used to have meetings.
Well, that's before everybody constantly IG storied and tweeted where they were at every moment. You don't have to stake any players out now. They'll just tell you.
Yeah. And it was amazing because the Lakers really thought they had a chance with Melo back in 2014. That was a big moment. And they got really close. The only trump card was Phil Jackson was the president of the Knicks back then, and he had the fifth year, and he gave him the whole thing. But they really thought they had a chance at Carmelo Anthony all those years later. And you look at, I mean, that's my favorite expression on the show, I guess, is sliding doors. But the sliding doors of Melo's career, of LeBron's career. I like this fit. I like that Melo sort of restarted his career, and he's become a really good three-point shooter. Career high 41% last year. That's what the Lakers need, and their cumulative ages are getting up. Like, he will be there and to make LeBron not feel old, I guess. Like, he's a little bit older than LeBron here. But look, I love the fact that they got Melo and Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. And Malik Monk on a minimum.
I was going to say, that is some wizardry.
Yeah.
And also kind of speaks to a strategy we were talking about with Chris Bosh yesterday, that when he and LeBron and Dwayne Wade were down in Miami, they were able to be like, hey, come to Miami. Yeah. Miami's fun. I know you won't be making that much money, but come and be with us. This is going to be a party. And it seems like they are starting to pick up a little bit of that momentum, too. What do you think, Zach?
Look, my big question about the Lakers now is the burden on defense for LeBron, who is still incredible defensively, and Anthony Davis, who we all know is a defensive player of the year candidate, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because when you trawl the minimum bin for guys like this, they're older, their liabilities defensively. But Melo, to Ramona's point, has bought into a spot-up shooting role and been really, really good at it, and he's going to fit well next to LeBron. And Malik Monk, look, he's not going to get the headlines here because this is Carmelo Anthony. This is a top 10 all-time scorer, first ballot Hall of Famer, LeBron's friend from when they were teenagers. It's a huge deal that they're playing together. Malik Monk on the minimum is an incredible get for Rob Pelinka and the Lakers. Mm-hmm. He had a great year last year, and he's not just a shooter. He can get them moving in transition. He's really fast. We know the Lakers like to play in transition, doubly so with Russ now. They're getting rebounds and rampaging up the court, and he's a really good secondary playmaker. If you're not really good, but he's getting there. If you kick it to Malik Monk on the weak side against the closeout, he can attack it, make the next pass. I think this is a great, great say. It's not going to get the headlines, but this is a great signing for the Lakers.
Kirk, I'm curious what you think the on-court fit with Melo, with LeBron, AD, and just all these new pieces, because it's great to make wholesale changes to your roster if you think you're improving it. But as you see on that graphic we just showed, Perk, it's a lot of guys going out and a lot of new guys coming in, and you're going to need to sort of reset your culture just by definition of having an almost completely new group except for two or three key guys.
Yeah, and I understand that, Rachel, and I would be concerned if it was a young group. But we're talking about a group of veterans, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys have been to the promised land. A lot of these guys have won championships. LeBron James, Anthony Davis. You're looking at even Trevor Ariza. But when you look at Carmelo Anthony and you look at Russell Westbrook, these guys are starving to win a championship. That's the only thing left for them to complete their legacy, is to win a ring. So sacrificing is not going to be difficult when it comes down to the Los Angeles Lakers. Look, we're watching Space Jam in real life right now. The Lakers have five Hall of Famers on their team. Five. Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwight Howard. And all those guys still could contribute at a very high level on the basketball court. Dwight Howard, to me, is going to be, again, the unsung hero in this situation, in my opinion, because his ability to still protect the basket. He knows how to play alongside Anthony Davis. He's still a lob threat at the basket, one of the most athletic bigs in the game today. So when you look at the other pieces, the shoot that they added around them, watch the hell out.
Yeah, I love this Dwight Howard sign. Resigning? Yeah, I mean, they missed him last year. That was a calculated decision that they made to go for Marc Gasol in there and let Dwight go and trade JaVale. They missed it, and they missed it against Nikola Jokic. They missed it against DeAndre Ayton, who, by the way, is now a guy that you have to be thinking about how are you going to defend him. And so I think they just looked at what happened last year in the playoffs and said, We gotta get a defensive big who can take that in those matchups against Phoenix, against Utah with Rudy Gobert, and against Denver with Jokic. And I think that's Dwight. He was great in those.
And I think the follow up question to that is, the more they play Dwight, the more they're going to face the problem of Russ, LeBron, AD, Dwight on the floor at the same time. It's just not a lot of shooting around LeBron. And so that will be interesting to see what it does to their half-court offense. But this team does like to play big. And as much as we want to see Anthony Davis the center, they're going to buy minutes with Dwight at the five. It's just a matter of how they balance out the rotation, because their shooting has taken a hit. And for 15 years, we've seen LeBron plus shooting is unstoppable.
Yeah. And look, here are some shooting numbers of guys last season. Caldwell Pope, not going to be there anymore. Caruso, not going to be there anymore. McLemore, not signed right now. Kyle Kuzma, not going to be there anymore. So you've got a lot of these guns no longer at your disposal. And the age thing is real, guys. They've got 6 signed players right now, 7 if you count Russ, right, who is on his way. 6 of those 7 are age 32 or older. A chunk of them are over 35. I mean, there is no question this is an older team. And I do think you're right, Perk. Much like we were talking in the last segment about the Olympics, you have a bunch of vet guys. You put them together for long enough, they do eventually figure it out. And the idea of sacrificing to win a championship, that is more real the older you get. Yep. It is real that you stop worrying as much about your individual numbers. It is real that you can feel like, well, I've kind of done everything else already. So for a guy like Melo that's looking for his first ring, that is very meaningful in terms of what you are willing to do for the team. But we have been talking so much this past season about injuries. And yes, obviously all the games stuffed in there because of COVID, all of that kind of stuff has made a difference. But if you look at the actual injury numbers, they're not that far off the previous years. Injuries are frankly a part of professional sports. We don't like them. We don't like talking about them. It capsizes some teams' hopes just when they position themselves right. But you have an older team. You are going to have more injury issues you have to deal with. That is just the facts of life of aging, as everybody involved on this panel can probably tell you. Also a good note, LeBron now the longest tenured L.A. Laker. 3 years.
Whoa.
Longest tenured on the team.
Whoa.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about a team on the other side of the country, Philadelphia. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid being cryptic on social media. We will break that down with our insiders next. All right, I want to talk to you guys about the defending champion, Milwaukee Bucks. Still fun to say. They lost P.J. Tucker, as we've noted, to the Heat, but Woj reporting Rodney Hood likely to join the team on a one-year deal. Bobby Portis also broke his own news, announced he was coming back yesterday. Zach, what's your reaction to what the Bucks have done so far?
Losing Tucker hurts. He was starting for them. He was hugely valuable defending Durant. You'd love them to just go right in deep into the luxury tax to pay him, but they didn't. Portis coming back is big. Hood could help. Semi Ojeleye could help if he becomes a 3-and-D guy for them, a good corner 3 shooter. But there's no denying it's a little disappointing to see P.J. Tucker walk out the door, particularly to another Eastern Conference contender.
That's right. You know, P.J. had wanted to do an extension before his trade from Houston. I think he thought after winning a championship he would get a nice raise there. But the luxury tax is a real thing. It costs 3 times as much when you sign him like that.
Well, the Bucks won't repeat without P.J. Tucker. I understand Bobby Portis was the fan favorite. I understand Giannis is who he is, but P.J. Tucker was the heart and soul of that team, and you can't replace that tenacity.
Look, one of the hardest things for a team that wins the title is having to keep that team together following years. Everybody wants to get paid. Things change. Guys get older. It is the reason it is particularly impressive when teams manage to repeat.
True.
It's not automatic. It's difficult. And we are seeing that with the Milwaukee Bucks right now. Never counting them out, though. If you are the defending champs, you get to be a favorite next season. That's just how it works. Welcome back to The Jump. Ramona's still with us, Zach Lowe, Kendrick Perkins, and I want to talk about the Sixers, who still have not traded Ben Simmons for that Harden-esque haul yet that Woj has been reporting they are looking for. They did bring back Furkan Korkmaz shortly before 6 p.m. Eastern in a 3-year, $15 million deal. Now, shortly after free agency started, Joel Embiid then tweeted, "What's going on?" I don't know, Joel, not much. Ben Simmons on his Instagram then posted this, an hourglass with a photo of him entering a car, leaving, driving away. We don't know. He also posted himself working out in the gym. Cryptic messages all the way around. And then earlier today, longtime Embiid rival, Andre Drummond, I mean, you could write a book.
I can't.
On the
this
quotes
is so
rival.
Rival's not the right word.
And tweets that have gone back and forth between these two.
Victim.
I mean,
victim.
Abusive relationship, should
victim.
We call it that? Andre Drummond is heading to the Sixers on a 1-year deal, according to Woj, proving Andre Drummond has some thick skin. Remember, Dwight Howard went to Philly to the Lakers yesterday, so that's the hole he's filling.
Yeah.
We'll swap there, I guess.
Yep.
All right, so what's going on? Joel Embiid tweeted, "Ramona, what's going on with the Sixers?"
Well, first of all, Joel Embiid does things like this.
Yes.
Like, he was tweeting about soccer earlier, too. I mean, he tweets stuff all the time. He's also representing himself right now.
He's no agent.
He's representing himself, and he's a really smart guy, and he knows how to do that. But he has an extension that they're going to work on, and he's got his own stuff that he's worried about. So I don't think his tweet had anything to do with Ben Simmons. I don't think he was on Instagram and responding to that. I think he just likes to stir the pot, because that's
who
Joel Embiid
today,
is.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, he just tosses out some, like, cryptic tweets all the time. He just does that. So I do think the bigger issue with Ben Simmons is the Sixers are open to bringing him back. The Sixers are, in a lot of ways, I think they would prefer that. I think they would prefer to say, we don't want to trade this guy who can win Defensive Player of the Year, who is a young superstar in the making. Just come back and let's work on this. But I don't. It doesn't seem like there's a bridge there that is being walked across by both sides. Like, I don't know if Ben Simmons has that interest right now, because I think things were said afterwards, after the season. Doc Rivers said some things. Joel Embiid said some things. I know there's been trying to smoothing out of that relationship, but it doesn't seem like Ben is necessarily interested in that right now.
Maybe Joel just really wanted to know what was going on. Maybe he was checking his mentions, being like, why are people not telling me what they're doing? Yeah. I want to know what my followers are doing. I'm not reading anything into the social media, but look, I agree with Ramona. I think the Sixers would like to bring Ben back, ultimately in a new team context. Maybe he looks better, because his trade value right now is just not where Daryl Morey wants it to be.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought, when Kyle Lowry went to the Heat, I thought the most interesting follow-up question was, okay, Philly wanted Kyle Lowry. What do they do now? Because if there was a universe where they could get a quality perimeter player, change Ben's role a little bit, it was plausible, at least in theory, Ben kind of morphs into a better player, different player, trade value up, and now that seems to be out the window. And like Ramona said, maybe the toothpaste is just too far out of the tube. And boy, if he's on the roster when training camp starts, I will be very curious to see what is going on at that time.
Well, I mean, well, here it is, right? And both of y'all are right. And here's the thing. Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers are not trading away Ben Simmons for nothing. They're trying to get back an MVP or all-NBA type player for him. And if they don't get that, they're going to keep him. They're going to keep him. And they feel like that they could fix the problem. They feel like all it takes is a little marriage counseling. You know, a little coming to Jesus meeting. Time heal wounds, okay? You let everything settle down. You lock guys up in the gym. You make them work on their craft. But here's the thing. We're holding everybody accountable. We're saying things about Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers and what they said in the post-game interview, but we have to hold Ben Simmons accountable. Ben Simmons, and we're not just talking about him shooting his jump shot. We're talking about him bringing back, just having his overall confidence of even looking to score, and that means attacking the basket. And if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm locking myself in the gym, and I'm shooting 1,000 free throws a day. That's the only reason Ben Simmons didn't want to attack the basket, was because he was scared to go to the free throw line. It's all about confidence. It's all about accountability. And one thing I know from being under the guy and winning the championship with Doc Rivers, not only is he a hell of a coach, but he's a great mentor and he's a great guy as far as repairing relationships and making things happen and making things work. Let's not forget that this team was one game away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals. So at the end of the day, look, if you can't get what you want for him, bring him back. This guy still has a very high ceiling to reach. He haven't even reached his prime yet. It's still a lot of hope for this young man.
You guys know I've been saying for this entire stretch, this is the lowest his trade value would be. It just does not seem to make sense to me. Now, I don't have to be in that locker room, but it does not make sense to me as an organization to trade him when his value was the lowest. Do you want to wait till his value comes back up to more teams are closer
or
to the title and maybe have had an injured player and they need a Ben Simmons in there more than they need a Ben Simmons right now? And I do think Doc is good at repairing relationships, and at some point you're all being paid millions of dollars. Play on a team together. Make it okay. Ben Simmons did decide not to go play for Team Australia. He won't be in the semifinals against the U.S. when that comes up at the end of the week, to work on his game perk, just like you suggested. So hopefully he's following his advice, and we will see what happens. Ramona, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. What a day for you to be coming in on. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Pelicans. Not exactly the start to free agency they were looking for. We'll discuss that next, friends. Stay with us. jump, the Pelicans made moves. They're trying to build a team around 21-year-old Zion Williamson. First sign in trading Lonzo Ball to the Bulls instead of matching his four-year, $85 million contract. Then acquired Devontae Graham from Charlotte in a sign and trade on a four-year, $47 million deal. The Graham deal cost them a projected first-round pick, while they acquired Thomas Satoransky and Garrett Temple at the cost of Lonzo. Perk, I hesitated when I said making moves because do we consider them moves if they're not necessarily team-building moves and they're just move-around moves? Where, how would you describe yesterday's moves the Pelicans made? I'm asking how you describe them.
I'll describe them as a disaster, okay? And here's why. You know, when you have an opportunity to keep a guy like Lonzo Ball, who has shown us time and time again, every year he has improved his game, improved his jump shot ability for us, making his jump shots and his three-point percentage. We already know he can fill up the stat sheet in other places for us, dropping dimes and getting boards. But when you, now that you can play him as a combo guard and he can also space the floor, him and Zion was must-see TV. I think you gotta keep a young stud like that. Here's the problem: you letting him go, letting him walk, you're already gonna have trouble trying to keep Zion in New Orleans as it is, because we already know that that's a Saints town. The Saints come first, the Pelicans come second. I played there; I know firsthand. So, with that being said, you're supposed to be trying to do everything in your power to make this an attractive place for Zion to play and surround him with attractive personnel. And I'm a fan of Graham, but I'm not that big a fan of his.
They gave up three draft assets, moving down in two picks to go from Lonzo Ball to Devontae Graham, Thomas Satoransky, and Garrett Temple. That is not great.
It's just confusing. It's confusing. Like, you would like to think there is a plan. Whether we all believe in the plan or not is up for debate, but it's hard to see a plan. Now, we've been saying all week, we'll watch it develop. That's why you should tune into The Jump tomorrow. We'll see you then.